I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media for Tuesday, August 17th, 2010. Will you have to change your name to escape all the data about you on Google? One person who thinks you might is Eric Schmidt, the CEO of Google. In a recent Wall Street Journal interview, Schmidt envisioned a day when young adults will change their identities to get away from their digital pasts. Wow. The guy who runs Google says Google will know so much that we'll have to hide from that which he helped create. Really? Sherry Turkle is director of the MIT Initiative on Technology and Self.
In my interviews with this generation of adolescents, I'm certainly finding that they feel like turtles who were carrying their pasts on their back. Indiscretion is what adolescence is about. And so what I think Eric was pointing out is not necessarily the solution we're going to have, but the gravity of the issue. What I think is extraordinary is that in giving up a name or in even considering that, he's talking about giving up history, family, meaning, identity. And to imagine that we're at a point where we're thinking of giving this up, I think it really marks a moment.
That's Sherry Turkle. But to understand whether young people will resort to changing their identity, let's look at how they're handling identity now. Mary Madden is with the Pew Internet and American Life Project, and she says young people are actually doing okay.
We find that young adults are the most likely to restrict their privacy settings, remove their name from photos, delete friends from their network, sort of all these pruning behaviors. I do think in some sense it comes from experience. They also are much more likely to have peers who are on the sites and posting information about them. So in some sense, they have to be more vigilant out of necessity because there's just more material being posted about them, not just what they're posting themselves.
That's Mary Madden. And that's what you can't always control, what others say about you. Jonathan Zittrain is co-director of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. He advocates not changing your name, but being able to declare reputation bankruptcy.
One way of thinking about it is, oh, I would just like that stuff to be deleted off the internet. But the way in which I'm more concerned about it is just as Amazon.com helps you understand what music you might like on the basis of what you've previously liked and what other people like, I believe that very soon we'll have an ability to rate people that way. After you've met somebody, you might walk away from the encounter, and just like on your TiVo digital video recorder, there's a thumbs up, thumbs down. You can thumbs up or thumbs down that person. You walk into a cafe, and people who are utter strangers might be perfectly willing to talk to you because their own digitally enabled radar is telling them you are not an axe murderer and you're actually pretty interesting. If your reputation is bad, you might similarly find people being not that willing to cut you the benefit of the doubt.
It's like one of those Rate My Professors sites, except for everybody in society all the time.
Exactly. But when these judgments accrue, not by individual reviews, but more just as people are interacting in the world, the drip, drip, drip of one thumbs up or thumbs down at a time, you don't even know how to respond to it. You know, I disagree with the world's judgment about me is about as far as you could go, rather than that student didn't get it right when he rated me as a professor. Now, when you're talking about reputation bankruptcy, you're realizing, geez, who's ever putting together this system and trying to aggregate all this data together to form judgments about people, you might not want to rate highly that information that is stale, because you want to give people a chance to change, to clear the record.
Other stories we're following at futuretense.publicradio.org. WikiLeaks says it's reviewing and getting ready to release 15,000 more confidential classified military documents. The organization released 77,000 documents last month. And a new scam floating around Facebook works like this. You see an offer to install a dislike button, the opposite of the like button. But if you install it, it spams you and your friends. And I think we all dislike that. Pink Floyd says we don't need no distribution. Several of the band's albums are now no longer available for download from iTunes or Amazon's MP3 store. Pink Floyd's contract with record label EMI expired at the end of June. The band hasn't renewed it, possibly because of EMI's insistence on selling the band's songs as individual tracks. Now, this isn't the earlier Syd Barrett era Pink Floyd that we're talking about. It's everything from The Wall onward. EMI is still selling CDs while supplies last, but if you want downloads of the affected albums, you're just going to have to go the illegal pirate route. This is Future Tense. I'm John Moe.